Let's open with hymn number 20. Sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who by thy Son didst feed 5,000 men in the desert with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we beseech thee to abide graciously also with us in the fullness of thy blessing. Preserve us from avarice and the cares of this life, that we may seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and in all things perceive thy fatherly goodness through Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday in Lent is found in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 10th verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Galatians, the 21st through the 31st verse. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. These things are an allegory, for these are the 2 covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, who is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here ends the epistle. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. The gospel for this day is found in the 6th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. Glory to you. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus had lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Sing hymn number 142. grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is found in Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, during our observance of Lent, we've been privileged to consider the Psalms which speak of our Lord's passion. We remember the words of Jesus when he spoke to his disciples after his resurrection, as he sat down with them and ate fish and honeycomb around a fire on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." It is from our Lord that we learn to find him in all the scriptures. And we should not be so blind or historically bound as to believe that the things which we read there, especially here in the Psalms, can only be true of David and only by coincidence of Christ. Today we consider Psalm 31, where we find the last words of Jesus which he spake before his death. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. My friends, I would that you would hear the words of this psalm not only as the cry of our Savior in his passion, but also as the cry of his Christians in this world. We can never do better than Christ. In suffering or faithfulness, in hope or victory, he is our everything. He does not just set an example for us to follow. He provides himself. He gives us his sufferings and his faithfulness, his hope and his victory, and he makes these things ours. If he were only our example, he would just be a Christ on paper. He'd be an unreachable ideal. He'd be one of those vain idols, which he decries in verse 5 with the words lying vanities. No, we need a real Christ and a real Savior. He does not just prescribe the things that we are to do. He provides them for us in himself. That's what a real Christ does for us. Learn well then this lesson. As you view your Savior's life, find yourself with him in all that he does. For that's what it means when he's your substitute. Look upon Christ and don't just say, he did that for me. Look upon Christ and say, that's my suffering. That's my death. There also is my faithfulness in tribulation and my hope. And there is my victory. For by the power of his word and baptism, I am there with him. I am there in him and he in me. And it is in this manner that King David could write the words of this psalm. And it is in this same way that all Christians can apply them to themselves. They are true of God's elect because they are true of Christ. And only because the scriptures speak of Christ can we appear under his cross and not find shame there, but glory. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. Here at the cross where the world sees the wages of sin, we see the righteousness of Christ being given to us in the most selfless sacrifice the world will ever know. In order to deliver us in his righteousness, he had to be delivered into death with our sins. And only by the death of the cross does God become our strong rock and our house of defense. Because apart from the cross, there is no grace. God would count us as the enemy. His fortress and strength would not be there to help us. They'd be those walls which rise up, which we're not able to scale. And we would not have to worry about the snares of God's enemies being laid for us, for we would be there with them, meeting in secret places in a futile and pointless attempt to overthrow God himself. All of our days would be spent in shame. If we knew any cross at all, it would be our only. But Jesus has not only taken the cross, he's joined himself to it. The secret plotting of men which otherwise could not touch him as God, he now succumbs to as a man. And as a man speaking to his Father in heaven, he cries out in haste, or more accurately, in terror, I am cut off from before thine eyes. There is no greater terror than to be forsaken by God, a terror which the Son of God endured so that you would not have to. And then he humbly speaks to his Father once more, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And as a man, he bows his head and yields up his spirit. And these are the things, then, of which the world is ashamed. To lift high the cross, not as a sanitized token of peace, but as a graphic and vivid portrayal of the suffering of Christ, the world cannot endure. To them, the real cross is shameful. But we find no shame there. That is our cross of hope and of glory. And at the end of our life, we can do no better than to commit our spirits into the God of our salvation, who has redeemed us from eternal death through that cross. And therefore, dear Christian, be shameless in your trust for the Lord who has redeemed you. That is, never be ashamed, no matter what, to be called one of his own. And to not just have the cross for a symbol, but to be there, under that cross in which he was crucified. You see, the cross, that most cruel way to die, was considered for generations to be an instrument of shame. When the Jews cried out, "Crucify him," they did not just want Jesus killed. There were many simpler ways to do that. They wanted him to be utterly shamed. They wanted all of his disciples who had put their trust in him to have their trust turned to shame. You see, they were materialists, like most men are today. They believed that if a man were physically shamed, if his flesh were marred, especially if he was put on public display, that alone would shame his soul. That would be a curse and a blight, not only upon himself, but upon all those who loved him, his family, and in the case of a teacher, his disciples also. We see this in their treatment of the maimed and the crippled and the blind, whose ailments they considered to be a curse by God, a punishment for some deep sin. This is nothing less than an utter disregard for the soul and an obsession with the flesh. We see the same idea in the Muslim world today, where a daughter can shame her parents just by showing her hair in public, a thing which in and of itself is nothing at all. Purely external for them becomes a blight upon the soul, which can only be removed by slaying her who so shamed her family. Out of the sickness and evil of his soul, a man does many things that are sin in and of themselves, but we do not need to search for sins or ways to call a man cursed and condemned. God has already condemned us all when he revealed that the heart of man from his youth is only evil continually, and that all men by nature are under the curse of the law and worthy of eternal death. It is not what is external which shames a man, but that which is in his heart. The Pharisees would speak all manner of hateful words and lies, but heaven forbid that they eat or touch the wrong kind of food. Jesus told them in Matthew 15:11, "It is not that which goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of his mouth." And so likewise it is with us. The things which happen to you in this world, the things that you have for your possessions or don't have, your disabilities or your abilities, do not make you or prevent you from being blessed before God. Luther says in the Battle Hymn of the Reformation, "And take away our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone, and they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." And so for that reason, our Lord Jesus despised the shamefulness of the cross. That is, he rejected the whole concept that the cross by itself must bring shame and a blight upon him and upon all those who believe on him. Hebrews 12:2 declares that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. For it was not the mere external act of submitting to the cross that redeemed us. It was not the physical reality of nails and a crown of thorns, but the inner life of our Lord, the perfect mind and heart which he carried to the cross, his love and compassion for sinners, the inner torment of his soul which he willingly endured. It is those things that turned the cross from an implement of shame to a banner of glory. There is now no shame for them who are in Christ Jesus and who are under his cross. We glory in the cross now. And how do we glory in it? There's a controversy that from time to time in the Lutheran Church rears its head about whether or not it is right to have the body of Christ upon a crucifix. Should the Christian glory in the broken frame of our Lord, upon whose head is the crown of thorns, who is the epitome of grief, the man of sorrows. Some would say that to have the body of Christ on a crucifix is to deny the resurrection. But I tell you, I've never found even a single person who kept around a crucifix because he denied the resurrection. I have, however, heard men decry the crucifix because it's too bloody, too much the picture of pain, too much a reminder of the suffering which Christ endured. It's much easier to have a sanitized cross. That is, I think, the real reason that a crucifix tends to make people uncomfortable. Whether our churches or our homes or our pendants have crosses with or without the body of Christ is neither here nor there. We glory indeed in the empty tomb, but that too derives its meaning from the cross. The glory of the cross is not to be found in the physical symbol consisting of two pieces joined together in a T, but in the pains of hell and in the measureless suffering which our Lord endured there. See how in our psalm our Lord is constantly alternating between the dreadful assaults of his enemies and the victory that the Lord will have over them? Between his marred and broken body, which caused his friends and neighbors to stand far away and turn their faces from him, and the mercies of the Lord, who does not abandon him forever, but brings him back to the land of the living. Between the abandonment that he experiences in hell and the certain trust that the Father will not leave him to be ashamed. Between the lying words of his enemies and the certainty that they will be put to silence. All these things take place together in the mind of our Lord. He speaks now of mercy and now of dread, now of suffering and now of hope, now of terror, now of victory. Because it is only by the torments of the cross that the shame of sin and death is lifted from the race of men. That is the cross in which we glory. The only shame now to be found at the cross is in those who persecute our Lord and his church, who would crucify the Son of God of flesh by imposing upon men the burden of the law once more and denying the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, who would rob men of that glory. But they are not under the cross. They stand apart, pointing to it and speaking blasphemies about it. They still would like to make the cross a shame, and yet it is they who shall be ashamed when, as our 17th verse says, they shall lay silent in the grave. But we who call upon the name of the Lord cannot be ashamed. For how great is the goodness which the Lord has laid up for them that fear him, which he himself has accomplished for them that show their trust in him in the face of the sons of men. Therefore love the Lord, ye his saints. Be of good courage, for he shall strengthen the heart of all those who put their hope in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, bless these gifts which we offer unto thee and make them fruitful in performing the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord, and blessed is thy name forever and ever, who sendest thy word like the dew of the morning, especially in this latter day, when thou hast sent unto us thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. O God, we praise and thank thee that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Out of thine unspeakable grace and mercy, thou didst give thine only begotten Son to be made sin for us, and to suffer for our transgressions, so that we might have everlasting life. We praise and bless thee that through Christ we are delivered from the bondage of the law into the glorious liberty of thy sons, evermore having access boldly to thy throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grant that we who are here gathered for thy worship may repent of our evil, forsake all sinful thoughts and ways, and find that thou wilt abundantly pardon us for Jesus' sake. And as thou, O Lord, knew the needs of all men, giving both the righteous and the ungodly their daily bread, make us to know it, to receive the benefits which thou givest us with thanksgiving. O Lord, keep us in health to the end that we may serve thee in this life and in the world to come, through him who is the bread from heaven, even Jesus Christ. Cause thy gospel to be preached in all lands. Unite the church on earth with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Bless our schools. Give wisdom and counsel to the government of this land, so that we may worship and serve thee without hindrance and live in peace and righteousness. To all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or spirit, give thou the strength that shall enable them to bear their cross, and the spirit of him who taught us to say, "Thy will be done." In his glorious name and for his kingdom's sake, we pray these things. Amen. We sing hymn number 155.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Unto the name of the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross did give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lord, take us away, our Savior.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 346. keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.